I mentioned, it is good to be with you all. I hadn't been able to be up here since the organization, and so I've been planning to make a trip, just hadn't worked it out, but the Lord worked it out. We were able to get some time off from work and all that sort of thing, and so we're thankful. We're thankful to be here, and certainly is encouraging to see that you folks are continuing on in the faith. And we're thankful for each of you, and certainly keep you all in our prayers, and we ask that you keep us in your prayers as well. We are thankful for the friendship and the fellowship that we have with one another. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 32, and we're thankful that we can broadcast the sermons live on Facebook. As I mentioned a little while ago, we discovered that we could do that last Sunday through our page, and we did that last Sunday. Lord willing, we'll start doing that more frequently. We do still have sermon audio and YouTube and that sort of thing as well. Another ministry that we have. It doesn't replace the assembling of the saints together, certainly, but it is a good resource, not only for those who are not able to meet for various reasons, because of sickness or whatever, but for those who, in between church services. I know I like to, you know, working and things like that. I know some of y'all do too. You go on and you could listen to a lot of different things, TV and radio and all that. What a blessing it is to be able to tune in and listen to some good preaching. And I do. I like to listen to some of the brethren preach. And even sometimes I hear some folks that I haven't seen in a long, long time. And I trust some of the things we put on the internet will be a blessing to those who are able to listen. Genesis chapter 32, and we'll begin reading at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men thou hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, until this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Your blessings. Lord, we thank Thee for the day that You've blessed us with, for the fellowship that we've had. Lord, for the hospitality that's been shown to my family and me. Lord, for this church, for each member. Lord, for their testimony and the truth and their stand. Lord, we pray that You'll continue to bless Unity Baptist Church. Be with Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in my absence, and each member there, And Lord, I pray that you will lead us in all things. Bless your word as it's proclaimed here. And our worship together, may it be in spirit and in truth. Lord, if it's in your will, that if there's any among us today who know thee not, that today may be the day they come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us of our sins. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to bring a message on a subject from this text. And I want to kind of take it and apply it to our lives as well. And so we'll kind of do some back and forth a little bit from the Old Testament to the New Testament this morning. But the title of my message is A New Name. A New Name. We look at this and we see Jacob here as he was touched by the Lord. I do believe that this was none other than the Lord. If you look there at verse 25 in this passage where he says, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And if you go down to verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I don't believe it's a far stretch to say that this angel was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who was there on that day with Jacob. And so I believe that Jacob was touched by our Lord that day. He named that place Peniel. When I was going reading through this and struggling with it, I used to pronounce that Peniel, but I have a Bible software now that I can click words and it tells me how to pronounce things properly. So apparently it's Peniel, but it's kind of hard for me. I grew up in southern Ohio, went to New Mexico for a while, and then ended up in Georgia. So some of these words I really don't have any idea how to pronounce. So y'all just bear with me. But apparently he named it that because he had seen God face to face. The Lord touched him that day. And you and I, we don't have that same kind of experience like what Jacob had. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you're a child of God, you know that there was a time when the Lord touched you. When the Lord gets a hold of you, there's a change. There's some things that happen, and there ain't no way that you'll be the same. And throughout the scriptures, we find other folks who were changed in the scriptures, even into the New Testament. We think of Saul of Tarsus. Over in the book of Acts chapter 9, we're doing a study in the early churches, and of course we're starting in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 8 right now, but the preacher's been reading ahead, and of course I preached through the book of Acts in Mansfield, but I had all those in notebook paper, and in the move I lost all that, probably just as well, kind of forces me to restudy everything. But in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, I love this because we've got Saul. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." If he found any of this way, what way? The Christian way, the church way, the way you all are meeting in homes, church buildings. If we can bring it to our vocabulary today. He was going to bring him bound. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul was on his way to Damascus, searching out people like you and like me who he might capture and take away and try to break up Christianity and destroy. And in an instant, his direction was changed. Not just the path that he was walking physically, but spiritually speaking, he was a changed man. Whereas before he was at war against the followers of Christ, yea, even against Christ himself. But then he met the Lord and he said, What would you have me to do? No longer was he at enmity and war against God, but ready to serve him. You see, the Lord had touched him. The Lord had touched him. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He had seen some things that pricked against his heart. And he said, You can't fight that, Paul, Saul. And later he was called Paul, but Saul, you can't fight that. He had not too long ago seen Stephen stoned to death. Other things. The witness of those dying martyrs and those men and women who were willing to stand for the truth regardless of all of that. The Lord got a hold of him, changed him. Later he'd become a great missionary and be used of the Lord. In fact, in Acts chapter 16. In Acts 16. As Luke records what happened here in Luke 16 and verse 13 through 15. It says, And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You see, the Lord touched her. The Lord opened her heart. It was that specific woman. When a person goes into a hospital for a specific surgery, that's the woman that they're looking for. Nobody else. It'd be a horrible, horrible thing if the doctor came in and grabbed the wrong person and did surgery on the wrong person for the wrong thing. And sometimes that happens. But here's the deal. God never gets things wrong when he touches a person. He had this certain individual, Lydia, marked out for this specific date. And nobody else is mentioned. There were others there, yes. But a certain woman named Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. You see, each one of these are a little different. but the Lord touched them. And each one of us have a little different of a story, but we can all go back and we know that the Lord has touched us. We're saved today. We know that we're saved today, not because of some grand scheme that we did, not some grand work that we did, but because the Lord has touched us. And oh, how great is God's grace. We see the measure of it, how wide it is and how great it is. One, just from the book of Acts here, we find one who was a great persecutor. Horrible fellow, it would seem. Certainly not a prime candidate for church. Not a prime candidate for salvation. But the Lord had a plan. The Lord had marked him out long before the world had ever been created and saved him that day on the road to Damascus. And another one, Lydia, she was already at a with a group in a worship service, it would seem. The Lord touched her. Her heart was opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. All of these, from Jacob all the way to Paul to Lydia, all needed the Lord. There's nobody too good or too bad that we don't need the Lord. All of us do. All of us do. And when we think about this group here, some of us were raised in church, some of us weren't. But the fact is, we all needed the Lord, because without the Lord, you see, God's not just making good men, or rather bad men, good. He's making dead men live. What a joy it is to know the grace of God. So much so that when the songwriter wrote about it, he called it amazing. And in Genesis chapter 32, and verse 28. Genesis 32 and verse 28. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." The Lord gave him a new name. A new name. He is no longer Jacob, meaning supplanter, but he is Israel, meaning one who fights victoriously with God, or prince with God. And as we think about that, we think about Jacob. He didn't deserve that. Study the life of Jacob. He didn't deserve anything from God. And you and I, we've also been given a new name, but we don't deserve that either. We don't deserve any of that. In Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, you hath he saved, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all," not some of us, but "we all had our conversation, our way of living, the things we did, in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." In other words, there was no difference between us and everyone else in this world. And when the Bible says, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated," there was no difference by nature in those two. And you and I, when we look at it, we know that there are some who will die and will go to an eternal hell. And the amazing thing isn't that God has chosen some to go to heaven. The amazing thing is that any of us will go to heaven. It's God's grace. And we praise the Lord that He has touched us. Because in verse 4 He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And if we skip on down here, in verse 11, He says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." In verse 19, He says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Without Christ, there is no hope. Had He never touched us, had He never come, we would be with the rest of everybody else. But now we are no more strangers, but saints. No longer foreigners, but fellow citizens. We find that with this touch of the Lord, just like what happened with Jacob, if you look there, in Genesis chapter 32, we find in verses 31 and 32, it says, "As he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is open, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Once Jacob had been touched by the Lord, there were some differences. And the Bible says here, a new day dawned. I know it's talking a new day dawned, but there's also a newness that happens. And we'll look at that here in a moment. But also, his walk was different. His walk was different. So we see the day before, he was a different man than what he was after the fact. Some things had changed. And when you have been saved by God's grace, when you've been touched by the Lord, there's some difference in your life. There's newness like you've never experienced it before. Think to the day before you were saved. And then And then when you're saved, not only is it just a calendar date. Some folks just talk about the day that they made a profession. But there's a difference, you see. It's more than just a date on a calendar. There's a marked difference. There's a change. Jacob was given a new identity, a new walk. And not only was he given all of that, but that new identity didn't die with him either. The phrase children of Israel is found some 647 times in your King James Bibles. It all started right there. Right there. The day that the Lord touched him. You see, a legacy that went on. And by the way, it goes on even beyond this world. It's kind of interesting to think about the legacy that goes on. And it's not to attribute the greatness of Israel. Some folks take this and they think about how great Israel is and they miss the point. The point isn't all about Israel and how great Israel is. The point is how great the God of Israel is. The point is how great the God of the Bible is. And we as Gentiles, we can rejoice in that as well. But even when we think about how this is applicable to us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When the Lord touched Jacob, and he's kind of walking different, you know, you reckon people said, "What happened to you, Jacob? Why are you walking funny, Jacob? What's going on, Jacob?" What do you reckon he told them? Do you reckon he tried to cover it up? "Nah, I'm getting old. I slept bad, man." You know? No, he probably told them, "Hey, you got to hear what happened to me. And when you've been saved, you know, you're going to start doing things different. You're not going to walk the same places you used to walk. You're not going to go the same places you used to go. You're not going to talk the same places you used to. You're not going to talk the same way you used to talk." And your buddies are going to say, "Hey, what happened to you? What's going on?" We ought to tell them about it. "Hey, I've been with the Lord. I know the Lord made a change in my life. And let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about it." Any good that comes out of us isn't because of who we are, you know. And we ought to, we're reminded of that daily, because daily what happens? We struggle with this old flesh. And every day we're reminded that it's not about me. I can't keep David Green out of trouble. I can't keep David Green saved, but the Lord does daily, daily. And God's grace is good, and the Lord has made a change in my life. Regardless of how your experience was with the Lord, whether you were raised in church, whether you heard the gospel message from a King James only Baptist preacher or not, you know, because it may have been you heard it from somewhere else. You might have heard it from some grandmother or some mother, like Timothy did. Right? You may have heard a gospel message from some radio preacher that hardly knew his right hand from his left, but he knew the Lord died for sinners, was buried, rose again the third day, conquering death, hell, and the grave, and that you needed a Savior, and you need to repent and believe, and you heard that. And the Lord used it. However way you came to know the Lord, wherever the Lord found you, however way He touched you, oh, what a day that is. And you're walking different now if you've been saved. If you've been saved. And as he says there in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, listen. Y'all are fairly young church. But, you know, as you grow and as the church goes forward, you know, there's some things that are bound to happen. As we read through the book of Acts, we find the persecution was going on, and y'all are seasoned saints. You know this to be true. Y'all have been around for a while, but it's good to remember. You know, this persecution was happening there for a while, and the church was scattered. I was just preaching from this the other day. It was a good reminder for us there at Sovereign Grace. It wasn't the outside persecution that hurt the church. Because, man, they were doing pretty good at Jerusalem. Guess what would have happened at Jerusalem if there hadn't been persecution? They wouldn't have gone anywhere. They would have stayed right there, probably, most of them. But persecution scattered them. And so then they scattered. And you got Samaria and Philip there. And what a neat thing that is, that Philip went down there and he's preaching, and people are being saved and they're baptized. And then there's that one Simon. Simon's the sorcerer. He sees what's going on. And he wants in on the action. Not because he seems like he's genuinely saved. He just wants in on the action. And so he slips in with the crowd. And he gets baptized. But he doesn't seem to be saved after all. And sometimes there's troublemakers that pop in amongst the true. But the devil seems to cause trouble sometimes and all that. In the church of Corinth, when Paul was writing to them, they were a mess, weren't they? They were. There was all sorts of things going on. And he reminds them, he says, hey, wait a minute, guys. You know, listen, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. You can't be all these things going on and all that. Well, somebody say, well, I know I'm saved because I've got this date when I made profession of faith, when I was baptized. And I say, wait a minute. That's all well and good, but what about your life? What about your life? You see? That's why John, at his baptism, he says, Pharisees, you've come to the baptism, but bring forth fruit, meet for repentance, you see? You see? In Romans chapter 6, these scriptures are all given for our growth and our learning. because we are given a change, a new name. There's some weird ideas out there. There's some guys out there that teach open membership. I don't even understand that, but I hear all kinds of, I don't know, maybe it's because there's open internet and everybody can broadcast whatever they believe, but I don't know. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. He says, "Know ye not that so many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." We're not talking about sinless perfection here, but we're talking about a change in our lives. We don't do those things like we used to do before we were saved. And we don't feed the flesh. There's a difference. And even when we look at a example from one of the men that we looked at besides Jacob, you know, obviously he had a different walk because of what happened with his thigh, because of the touch of the Lord. Look at Saul over there in the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Verse 10, "There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Ananias is told by the Lord in a vision, Go to Saul. To Saul. Now, if you keep reading there, you see what Ananias thought. In verse 13, Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." Ananias knew. You know, he was kind of feeling like maybe a little bit like Jonah might have felt when he was told to go to Nineveh. "I don't want to go there. You know, hey, Lord, I think you might have picked the wrong guy." But look at what the Lord had said there in verse 11 as a mark of the difference in Saul. Verse 11, "For behold, he prayeth." Ananias missed that, it would seem. Or maybe Ananias just wanted to be sure. You know, I don't know what it was like to receive visions like that. The Lord doesn't work in that way. We have the complete Word of God. We don't receive visions and dreams and that sort of thing. But Ananias got this from the Lord, and the Lord said, go, told him what street, seek out Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. Ananias is like, wait a minute. That's that guy. I know him. I've heard of him. Behold, he prayeth, Jesus said. Behold, he's different. He's not the same guy. This is the one who used to despise people who prayed, but now he prayeth. Now he prayeth. Who can do that? Only God. Only God. And just a couple chapters over. Well, if you look at verse 15, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, he is a chosen vessel to me. God said, I've picked him out. He's mine. And not only has he caused suffering, but now I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my sake. You see. There was a change. The persecutor would now become the persecuted. The one who caused suffering would now be a sufferer. The one who hated Christians is now a Christian. You see. God can do that. Only God. Just a couple of chapters over in Acts chapter 11, in verses 22 through 26, Paul is involved in this work in Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. It says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You see how this worked. Saul was still new to the folks. Barnabas was sent. He went and got Saul. They worked together at Antioch. A church was organized under the authority of Jerusalem. A whole year they assembled themselves there, and they were called Christians first in Antioch. The Lord's people throughout this last 2,000 years of church history have been called by many names. But how fitting it is that one of the first names that was given, that they should be called Christians. 20 years ago, Labor Day weekend, I married Jill. When I married my wife, she took my name. She became Jill Green. Previously, she was known as Jill Sanchez. There's a reason why that she took my name and I didn't take her name. We became one flesh. She she came in under my authority. She came under my rule, and she identified with me. Now, there are some liberal women out there who disagree with that sort of thing. The Hollywood types and all that sort of thing. And so they'll keep their maiden name and all of that. But that's not the way that it is. It's not the biblical pattern. It's not God's pattern. It's not God's design. We made vows, Jill and I did, till death do us part. How fitting it is that we be given the name Christian. Now the difference is, it's not till death do us part as God's people. You see, we identify with Christ even beyond the grave. We have come in under His authority, under His rule. We identify as His. And when we think about this and what a great blessing marriage is, and you can go into Ephesians 5 and you can see the parallels there, and you can see how great that is. But how much greater it is to be in Christ. This is forever, you see. This is forever. And the beauty of it is, they didn't have to go around saying, "Look at us, we're Christians." They saw it. They saw it. They were called Christians. It may have even been as a derogatory term. And when they saw that the Christians didn't mind that term, hey, you can call us Christians all you want. Later, they would begin trying to call them other terms to try to get them upset. And so, like the Waldensians, they called them that often because Peter Waldo. And so, oh, you're followers of Waldo, right? No, we're not followers of a man. We're followers of Christ. You see. We've been given a new name. We don't identify with the world. And even Paul, when he wrote his letters, he said, "Follow me." How? As I follow Christ. And even in marriage, when we talk about marriage, the wife is to follow her husband in the Lord, right? If he gets out of line, orders something that's against the word of God, then she's not under an obligation to follow that. And right now, even at this very moment we meet, we worship. The world would say, "Well, that's kind of crazy. You're meeting in a home. There's no steeple. There's no building. There's no stained glass windows." You see, they've got it all out of order, the world does. The religious world has it all messed up. What's the most important thing? Well, there's many scriptures we could look at. We could look at the pattern. We could look at all the evidences. We could look at so much, but we won't have the time this morning, and you all know all of those things. But I'd like for us to go to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. There's something here in this verse that I just love to bring out when we talk about a name. And as we bring this to a close, he says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Where two or three. Out there in the margin, I've got written two or three, the minimum for a church. Okay? Two or three. You can't have a church of one. You got to have at least two. Two or three. And then I've got in my name equals by my authority. My authority. You can have the most beautiful, gorgeous building in the world. You could have the most excellent organ and the most fantastic looking steeple. You could have an excellent looking choir, the best dressed pastor in the world, and you could have all pews and pews of people and it not be a church. But once you've got the name, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And we've been given a name because we've been touched by the Lord. He has given us that in our salvation. And then, of course, He's given us that by His authority in the church. And what blessings we have. We have twofold blessings when you think about it. The Protestants, they and the Catholics, they kind of lump it up all together. And they kind of lump everything all up into one. But really, the Scripture gives us the twofold in that we're born again into the family of God, and then we're baptized into the church. And what a blessing that is to have that name. It's the only way it should be. And it's always in that order. Always. And so I ask you this morning, how is your relationship with the Lord? Have you been touched by the Lord? Have you been saved by His grace? And if you have been saved, have you joined? Have you been baptized? Have you joined the Lord's church? And those things are important to consider. May God add a blessing to His word.